to see each of you here tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for all you have done for us, for what this song talks about. You went to the cross in our place. You didn't have to do it, but you did because of your love for each one of us. We thank you for the shed blood. That when you did die, you didn't stay dead. You rose from the dead, demonstrating for everyone that you conquered death. And that is the first fruits of what you offer each one of us. Hopefully sometime real soon. The day is coming when you are going to come back, Lord Jesus, and we are anxiously waiting that day. When all of the troubles that we face here in this life will all be done. And we won't have to deal with any of that anymore. And we'll be forever with you wherever you might be, whether it be heaven or here on earth. We will be with you for all of eternity. And we thank you for all the blessings that you've given to each one of us. We pray that you would be with Brother Prue tonight as he preaches the word, that he would give him the words to say. We thank you for his being willing to come. Thank you for all of your blessings to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Just so everybody knows, Brother Prue is here tonight, and he will also be here next week on Wednesday. And then this coming Sunday, Rodney Myers will be here. Okay? And the following Sunday, Lord willing, Astrid will be here.
Amen.
So, like I announced on Sunday, I talked to him via text on Saturday. The loan got approved, and so they're going to be, it's a rent-to-buy situation. They'll be renting for this month and next, and then closing is at the end of April. And then from there, they'll had their mortgage on their home. So it was a long process, but the Lord saw fit to make things go.
Mm-hmm.
So, and their home is going to be, the name of the street is Godfrey Street. It's right near the Iron Pigs Ballpark. There's a CVS right on Union Boulevard, and their home is directly behind the CVS. So, and like I was saying earlier, there are a couple of grocery stores within 2 or 3 miles of that place, so they won't have any trouble with getting what they need, so it'll be good. And hopefully from here to there, be maybe 15 or 20 minutes, depending on traffic, so hopefully it won't be too hard for them to get here. All right, that's all the announcements I have that I'm aware of at the moment. In between services on Sunday, we of course heard about Kathy's son, and we're sorry. But, Kathy, you can provide more detail if you would like, but there is a viewing here next Monday. From 6 to 8 p.m.
We got the autopsy results this morning, and it was an inclusion of the artery, which is fancy words for heart failure, which runs in my family. It killed my father, my grandfather, and my great-grandfather. There's no way to detect it or to take care of it. Just God needed it more than we did, I guess. He didn't suffer, so I'm grateful.
Yes. Well, and not just that, but so the other good thing is it wasn't something else.
I'm sorry, what?
It wasn't something else.
Right, right.
So.
Very grateful.
And that's it, right? It's just the viewing, and that's all there?
Right, and okay. They'll be cremated afterwards.
Okay. All right, so some of us who have the opportunity will come over on Monday evening to help with whatever we can in that situation. So that's why we have a church family, to help and support each other in times like this. So we're thankful for blessing of having that. Jason, you can provide more detail if you like, but I want to pray for Carl Bush and his family. Last Tuesday, their home burned down.
Oh, my.
And they lost just about everything. But everybody is okay. So.
And his pets are safe.
Oh, good.
Oh, okay. So the pets are safe also.
Yes,
okay, great.
They couldn't find two of the cats, but they got them.
Oh,
okay.
So they're all safe.
But so we need to pray for them. I guess right now they're living in a hotel, and they have what they need at the moment, but obviously they need a place to live. So just pray for them. And then the other part of this, of course, is hopefully God will use that to bring them back here. We haven't seen Carl in a long time. So just pray about that. So I think that's all that I'm aware of. Other things like that that I need to mention. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. This will be the final week that we go over Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Starting on Sunday, we're going to be in Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 11. A lot of you are familiar with that passage, I believe. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. There we go. Pages that stuck together. Okay, here we go. Ecclesiastes 1, 9 and 10. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done, is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already the whole time which was before us. All right. Okay. Jason, another song.
795.
All right. 795.
Mother, step our tall name.
will be the final opportunity for Sunday. Lord willing, we'll have a new bulletin. So if you have any requests that you need to mention, let's take care of that real quickly here. Yes, Mark.
My 8-year-old granddaughter has COVID, and my daughter is taking care of her. My granddaughter is doing real well after a week of a couple of days of a rough time, but my daughter's a smoker, and if she gets sick from it, I don't know who's going to take care of her, because I couldn't. So anyway, she herself said, "Mom, pray for me," and I said, "I'll bring you before our church family and we'll pray for you that she doesn't come down with it."
Okay. Does your daughter know the Lord?
No.
Okay. So we can pray about that as well.
Okay.
What's her name? What's the name of your granddaughter?
My granddaughter's Katie. My daughter is Wendy.
Okay.
All right. I was going to ask you to repeat that request.
Okay. Her granddaughter, Katie, came down with COVID, and her daughter is taking care of her, and she's very concerned that if she comes down with COVID, she'll have a lot of difficulty caring for her and whatnot. So, and then there's a spiritual need there, too. So we want to pray for her. Anything else? Yes.
I just wanted to kind of give a brief update with Jordan. I was able to talk to Ed earlier today, and she was finally moved to that full-time facility where they can work with her doing all the therapy. She is walking around a bit, but can only really walk around with a walker. And her memory is actually starting to improve. Her long-term memory seems to be pretty solid. She's doing pretty good remembering things from now on, but there's like a short-term period that she's having trouble with. And unfortunately, part of that memory includes Ed. So it's kind of a trying time. I mean, it's been going actually pretty smoothly. She remembers him. She remembers, obviously, you know, that she loved him, that he was good to him, but there's a lot of parts about the relationship that are not all there. So it's almost kind of like
starting over.
Sort of getting to, you know, she's getting to know him to some degree, which is kind of odd, but it's, you know. I talked to him today and he said, you know, it's going really well. You know, he just told her, take your time with it, whatever you need, and if ultimately, you know, leads you elsewhere, and I'll be fine with whatever result. But they've been, that situation has been going good, but I know it's got to probably be tough on them, like, knowing everything about them and her not really knowing everything. But her health has been improving. She's in this facility now, and because she got finally moved to this facility, he can actually see her now. So that's a huge relief for him. Because, I mean, that was a few months, basically. He saw her one time over that course of the time.
Since
so,
October.
Yeah, basically since October. So now he's able to see her.
I assume that was because of COVID. He wasn't allowed to go see her.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
But now at this new facility, he can see her semi-regularly. So it's, and now she actually has access to a phone so they can talk a lot more. And so everything about that aspect is much better. And her health is getting better, but she's still got a long way to go. I mean, I guess a lot of the doctors are saying, you know, it could be, you know, a year or two until she's really to that point of whatever her full recovery is going to be. But just keep her in your prayers as she continues to do better, and that at some point I get to go over there and give her the gospel. I also wanted to say just generally to pray for this ministry, because there's obviously a lot of heartache and things going on, people dealing with sorrows, and, you know, we just listened to, I forget who preached it, but someone was just talking one of their messages, how typically when stuff like that happens, there's something real big God wants to do around the corner. So just, I mean, I'm so super thankful for this church family, how everybody really does care about each other and rallies around each other, but let's just keep praying for each other and stay strong and see what that big thing is God has for us.
Amen.
Yes.
Jim.
Yeah. Donna's son, David Strubby, is on our prayer list with cancer. He was taken to the hospital this morning with appearance colon. So pray for that. And I just got a message about 6 o'clock this afternoon that he's in surgery. So just pray for him that he pulls through and there's a salvation need there. So.
Trying to see where it is on the list.
It's under cancer,
David
Strother. Okay. Got it. Situation like that is in the time we're living, people overreact to that and automatically assume it's something other than what it is. So that's something we can definitely pray about too, in addition to the healing that any of us with a cold might need. It's hard to get the right kind of care because everybody assumes it's something other than what it is. Adjusting to work all right? Slowly?
Yeah.
All right, we'll pray.
I know, but we'll
pray about that, that whatever the new normal is going to be, that it comes up soon and that you're able to adjust to it and all that. Okay. All right, anything else? Okay. Brother Crew, we'll turn it over to you then.
Good evening. Good to be here. If we could open up this evening to Acts chapter 27. Talk this evening about Paul's rough road to Rome. He was a prisoner, and he was in prisoner transport at this point. And it did not go smoothly. So if we could open up to Acts chapter 27, we'll read some verses here by way of introduction. And then we'll have 3 points and a lot of subpoints. So, all right. It says there, Acts 27, verse 1. By the way, did anybody notice something similar about the two hymns that we sang tonight?
Same author and same composer.
Same writer and same one that wrote, put the music. Yeah, yep. Good. All right. Well, you're observant. That's good. All right. Acts 27:1. And when it was determined that we, now notice it says we, so apparently Luke is with them. At this point, Luke wrote Acts, and so apparently he was with Paul at the beginning of this trip at least. We're not sure how long he stayed, but he says it was determined that we should sail into Italy. Now, of course, they had to sail into Italy because they were transporting the Apostle Paul as well as some others there to be tried. And so he says... Boy, my eyes are blurry. I hope I can read this tonight. I, ever since I had COVID, which was in December, my eyes have been blurry. And I'll struggle through this, and if I don't stammer too bad, then we'll be happy. Delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band, and entering into a ship of, boy, I cannot read that. What is that? Adramidium? Adramidium? Something like that. Okay. We launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day, we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go into his friend, into his friends to refresh himself. Okay. Boy, I apologize. Hopefully it'll clear up here a little bit. Sometimes it does. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed unto under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. Boy, I guess they were, and they're going to get worse. But when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing unto Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. We'll stop there, and we'll pick it up again here in a little bit. But Paul, the Lord told Paul that he'd be going to Rome at some point. He didn't know how he was going to get there. Now he's getting there as a prisoner. And so it's actually going to be an entrance into Caesar's household, and he's going to get the gospel in there. And we talked about that back when we went through Philippians, how he was in Caesar's household and under house arrest and chained to a guard 24 hours a day in six-hour shifts. You can imagine the duty that was, trying to have Paul shackled to you for 6 hours. You know, you were going to get the gospel. But anyway, we have situations that arise, storms that come into our lives. And it seems like I like to preach on these because it's interesting to see how God uses them. But he's a prisoner now heading to Rome. And you remember he mentions in Corinthians when he kind of rehearses his life how that thrice I suffered shipwreck and a night and a day I spent in the deep. And I'm sure that this was part of that recollection there that he was talking about. But I'd like to look here at what causes our storms, first of all. What causes our storms? And I'm going to have 5 points under this. Now, 5 things that cause our storms. Sometimes storms are Savior-planned. Savior-planned. Now, that sounds kind of unfortunate. Why would the Savior put us through a storm? But he does that sometimes for our own growth. He does it sometimes to maybe minister to somebody else, but we'll see that sometimes they are Savior plans. Sometimes they're satanic attacks. We see in Matthew 4 that even our Lord was attacked by Satan. So if he was attacked, then we can certainly expect no less. But many times I find when we get into a tough spot or a storm or a trial, we focus more on the cause. Why did this happen to me? You know, poor me. And we tend to focus on the reason rather than our response. Our response to the storm is actually infinitely more important than why it happened. It happened. It happened. I mean, you know, it's already there. So in other words, we shouldn't fret over what caused this necessarily as much as what will be our response. What will be our testimony in front of those that we come in contact with as we face this particular storm? And so many times the cause is not just one thing. Many times the cause is a combination of things. So we've looked at two here, Savior planned and satanic attacks. And, you know, we think about maybe Job would come to mind. And we could say now, was that Savior planned or was that a satanic attack? Well, it was both. It was both. Because God said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" And then Satan said, "Well, yeah, but, you know, you've given him everything. Take some of that stuff away and see how it happens." So then God took it away. So it was both a satanic attack and it was also Savior planned. Paul's thorn in the flesh was given to him that God's strength might be shown in weakness. And so that was the situation there. But and he had this thorn in the flesh lest he would be exalted above measure. And but it was also called a messenger of Satan to buffet him. So it was both. Now, many times it's that way. Many times it's both. So it really is more important how we respond than why we got into the mess in the beginning. Now, number three, we have a Savior plan. We have satanic attacks. Number three, we have what we would call situational storms. John 16 says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." Some things just happen. They just happen because that's the way things are. You know, that's the way the custom is. That's the way the climate is. That's the way the government that we're under is acting. So situational storms. And then number four, we have the sins of others. That sometimes is a cause of our storm. How about Joseph? Joseph, his brothers wanted to kill him. That's sins of others. They wanted to sell him into slavery. Okay, that's the sins of others. But the fact that slavery was around in that time period, well, that would be a situational condition. And then Potiphar's wife accusing him falsely, well, that'd be the sins of others. And he was put into prison and forgotten about. Well, again, the sins of others. So, let's let Moses, or excuse me, Moses. I must be losing my mind here. We aren't even talking about Moses. But let's let Joseph give you his opinion. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. And so he looked at it differently. But then there's one more, and that would be the one that we don't want to hear about, the self-inflicted storms. Sometimes they're self-inflicted. But many times, as I say, there's not a singular cause, but there's a combination of causes. And this was true of this storm in Acts 27. There's different causes for different people as we look at this story here. the centurion soldier that's mentioned here, for him, it was certainly a self-inflicted storm. He didn't listen to the counsel of Paul. He could have done that, but he didn't. And for the crew that was, tending this ship, we could say it was a situation of the world, a situational storm. They didn't have any say. They were employees. They just had to do what they were told. So it wasn't necessarily their problem in themselves. It was because of the situation they found themselves. And it amazes me that sometimes it's so easy for people to take wrong counsel. And that will be what we'll talk about here. If you listen to the wrong people, you're going to get the wrong advice. Just the way it is. And, we need to find people who are faithful to God, faithful to the Word of God. And it's amazing to me the places that some Christians, so-called Christians, go for counsel. They go to people that aren't even born again. They go to people that aren't church members. They're not faithful to God's house. And that's where they get their counsel. No, well, it's no wonder they get into trouble and get in deeper. It's no wonder. And so, you know, he's listening to wrong advice and he's ignoring Paul's advice. So he's wrong on both counts there. So listening to the wrong people. And then secondly here for this centurion, he trusted the wrong consensus. You know, many people go with the majority opinion. That's not always a wise thing to do. Remember when the flood came, 8 people decided to build the ark. The whole rest of the world ignored it. And so the majority was wrong. And the majority is often wrong. I think of Israel when they were wandering, and some of the ones said, we need to go back to Egypt. And then they sent out the 12 spies ahead of time and to spy out the land. And 10 of them said, no, we can't take that land. We need to go back. And 2 said, no, we need to go forward. We can conquer that land. And so, again, the majority was wrong. And that's often the way it is. So the majority opinion isn't always the right opinion. And I think in the day we're living, it's even more obvious that is the truth. But when I make a decision, I want the prodding of the Holy Spirit. I want the stating of the Word of God. And I want a counsel of a godly person, somebody that's living for the Lord. That's where I want to go to get my counsel. That's where I want to go to help me when a storm comes. I want to go to some place that I can hang my hat on. And so then number 3 here with this centurion, he tested the wrong criteria. He tested the wrong criteria. Verse 13, let's read that. It says, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing fence, they sailed close by Crete. He said, you know, it looks like it's going to be easy this way. Nice soft wind. Let's try that way. And, you know, is this an easier way to go or that? Is this the better way to go or that? Does this job pay me more or that? Does this make me feel better or that? And that's the kind of questions that people often ask. That's a criteria they use to make their decision. And, you know, I've had friends of mine in years past who would get a job offer in a different part of the country, and they would take that job before they ever looked to see if there was a good church in the area where they would be moving to. Never even considered such a thing. And it's not smart. So some think the more profitable road is always the right road. And they're just testing the wind. This soft wind was blowing. It looked like a good way to go, and they're going to see that it was a bad way to go, a real bad way. But let's look at verse 14. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. Now, this word Euryclidon is a storm. It's a name of a storm that comes up in the Mediterranean and still used today. They still have this like a cyclone. And that's what happened here to these folks. And our decision should not be based on, number one, wrong counsel, number 2, a majority opinion, and they shouldn't be based on a wrong criteria. And that's what this centurion did. We should be governed by God, period. That's all. Nevertheless, the Bible says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine. Thy will be done. The Lord himself said that. Be not unwise, but considerate, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so with the captain, we could say self-inflicted. We could say with the crew, we could say situational. With Paul, we could say Savior planned. Because we're going to see that he's going to get to Rome, which is where he was headed in the beginning. But anyway, infinitely more important than the cause is the response. So number 2, the wrong choices in the storm. First of all, we said What did we say? What causes our storms? Okay, there's lots of causes. And then secondly, the wrong choices in the storms. Don't make the storm worse because the choices you make when you're in the storm. Don't make them worse. We need to be a testimony. We need to make them better. And so look at the decisions that this captain made. They drifted with no conditions. Let's continue on here. Let's go to verse 16. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship and tearing, lest they should fall into the quicksand, set sail, strake sail, and so were driven. Verse 18. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. Okay, that's the first thing they did. They lightened the ship. Verse 19, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. With our own hands, they took out that which made the ship seaworthy. They say, we don't need this. We're throwing this out. And so notice when Christians get in hard times, I've seen Christians with their own hands stop reading their Bible, with their own hands stop praying, with their own hands stop going to church, with their own hands stop tithing. All these things that if there's ever a time you don't want to stop doing those things, it's when you're in trouble. You want to be obedient and let the Lord help you. Let the Lord help you out of this problem. And I've seen Christians many years, in 66 years now being saved, that did exactly the opposite of what they should have done. Exactly the opposite. So people discard that which is critical. Imagine throwing the tackling of the ship overboard. Now they're without a sail. Now the winds are going to just take that ship wherever they're going to take it. And they have no respite. Nothing to help them. So this, if you don't think the storm was by the ship captain was self-inflicted up to this point, from now on you can see that it certainly was. It absolutely was self-inflicted. If there ever was a time to walk with God, it's in the tough times. That's when we need to walk with God. And the next thing we want to look at with this captain is how he made it worse. How did he make it worse? Well, number one, by drifting with the conditions. I mean, he took down the sail and threw it overboard. So he has no more way to direct that ship. He's going to just drift with the conditions. Going to throw it in neutral and just let the winds take them wherever they're going to take them, whether it be rocks or whatever it may be. And then secondly, he discarded that which is critical. In doing that, he discarded that which was actually critical to the direction of the ship. And then when that happened, they despaired and lost confidence. They despaired and lost confidence. Let's continue to read here. Verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. Imagine how discouraging that would be. You know how when you have about 10 days in a row where the sun doesn't shine, it kind of gets gloomy and you kind of get discouraged and despairing. Well, they're out in the ship. They're out in the middle of the sea. And it says, no sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us. Now, that's a way that Luke often describes things. At one point he said there was no small stir. In other words, there was a big stir. And so when he says here there was no small tempest, there was a big tempest. And I don't know why he says it that way, but that's the way Luke often describes things. And so he says there was no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. And so that's what they did. They were drifting with the conditions. They were discarding that which is critical, and they despaired and lost all courage. All hope was lost. Of course it was lost. They just They just threw out all the things that they needed to help them. Of course, all hope was lost. It was their fault. They got themselves in this mess. And let's move on here. Paul, however, stayed strong through this whole time. Let's look finally at the way we should operate in a situation like this. Wise concepts in suffering. Number three, wise concepts in suffering. In other words, how to go through the storm. Prior to a hurricane, Red Cross will tell you, you need to prepare. You need to get first aid. You need to get medicine. You need to get some canned goods. You need to have a can opener. You need to have some batteries. You got to have 3 gallons of water per person before the storm comes. This is what you do before the storm comes. You prepare. And no matter what we do, we need to prepare ahead of time. And I would say one other thing here. I read this in a paper one time, and I think it was in Florida. And it said, that it was an article, it said, the wind is blowing, the streets are deserted, the hurricane is making landfall. If you waited until now to prepare, it's too late. Too late. You can't wait till the storm is upon you. You prepare before the storm. And so that's the kind of fellow Paul was, and that's what he did. And so number one here, under wise concepts in suffering, first of all, we need to repent of any problems that we might have toward God. We need to repent of those. This problem that we're entering, this storm, it may be a refiner's fire to get rid of the dross. I remember I had a friend many years ago. He's with the Lord now. He died in a car accident subsequent to what I'm going to say here. But he had a 12-year-old son that died of leukemia. And as he was going through that, he told me, he said, I had a lot of dross in my life. And he said, I believe God sent this my way to get rid of the dross. Imagine thinking that you had to lose your 12-year-old son to get rid of dross in your life. That would be a real eye-opener. But anyway, sometimes a storm might be there for that reason. We were drifting a little bit, and God sent this to get our attention and get our attention. So number one, we need to repent of any problems between us and God. Repent of them. And number two, recognize the presence of God within the storm. When others were scared and panicking, Paul was meeting with God. Let's read verses 21 to 23 here. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. In other words, he's basically saying here, I've met with the Lord here. The Lord was here. He's talking about a Christophany here when he says the angel of the Lord here. It was an appearance of Christ to Paul. And so he said, it's going to be okay. You didn't do what I told you, and you should have listened to me. You never like to have somebody tell you, I told you so, but Paul's doing that. He's saying, listen, I told you what you should do, and you didn't do it. But don't despair. There'll be no loss of life, only the ship. And so that was a righteous response that he had there. And he had been meeting with God, and he wasn't afraid during this time. And so if we have the presence of God, we can go through anything that God allows in our life if we have the presence of God with us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's going to be with us. And he says that. And I'd rather go through a storm with God than have perfect weather without God. I'd rather have financial distress with God than to have all my bills always paid and have prosperity without God. Finally, I'd rather have health struggles with God than to have perfect health without God. And, I have relatively good health, but, you know, I've got issues that I deal with. My wife has issues that she's dealt with for many years. But, you know, I'd rather have that than to be, acting like a 20-year-old and not have God. That's important. So recognize the presence of God. And then thirdly, remember the providence of God. It's not so much what causes the storm, but the righteous responses to them. And we see that there. We just read about that in verses, we read 23. We didn't read 24. Let's read 24. Saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar." So God is encouraging Paul, don't be afraid of this storm. You're going to Rome. I already told you were going to Rome. You're going to see Caesar. And so he said that here. He said, you're going to be before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. In other words, all these people in the boat are going to be saved. There'll be no loss of life here. And so remember the providence of God. God has told Paul that a number of times through his life. And he said, you're going to Rome. That's God's will for you. And so nothing is going to happen in this ship to keep you from ending up in Rome, because that's where I've sent you. And then number four, relax in the promise of God in verse 25. Verse 25 says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." When God met with me in this storm, when you folks were doing all the wrong things, God told me that it was going to be okay. And I believe him. I believe God. That's what Paul's saying to him here. And it's not so important to always determine exactly what caused the problem as it is to respond correctly in the problem. And, you know, it's interesting. We don't want to take too much time here, but You move into chapter 28 a little bit there in the beginning, and when they landed in this island of Malta, it's where they drifted ashore finally, and they were helped to shore there. And what's the first thing that happens to Paul? Gets bit by a snake. So, you know, he goes from the frying pan into the fire. You know, I hate snakes myself. I'm not a snake person, that's for sure. But anyway, this snake bit right onto him. And it was a viper. And, I heard a message. In fact, I've heard four or five messages with the same title, Shake It Off. Have you ever heard a message with that title? It's a powerful thought that they draw that message from. But anyway, he was blamed when he got bit by this snake. They said, certainly this guy must be a pagan to be bit by a snake. That's terrible. But it didn't divert Paul at all. You know, didn't waver, didn't cause him to waver, and he was not going to be discouraged by a storm. He was going to react properly in a storm, just like we mentioned these four things: repent of any problems, recognize the presence of God, remember the providence of God, relax in the promise of God. That's the way Paul lived his life. So storms were not going to bother him. Finally, just as a way of closing here, we should not use God as just a parachute when we get in an emergency. That's what we tend to do. I'm in the midst of a storm now. Now I need to pray. Well, no, we should have been praying all along. He's not a last resort. God should not be a last resort with us. And he should be a first resort. But anyway, we've talked about a terrible storm here, and I can't imagine the fright that's in some of these people's lives during this time, because probably most of them were not born again. They were not Christians. They were not followers of Christ. And, imagine darkness all that time and the high winds and not knowing if the ship was going to go down. It's a whole different thing for us as Christians. We have heaven to look forward to. Revelation 21 says that there's no sea there. No sea. And it also says no more sadness, no more sorrow, no more pain, for the former things are passed away. And so we have that as Christians to look forward to, and we can rest in that. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Apostle Paul. We thank you for his boldness. We thank you for the fact that when he met you on the road to Damascus, he never looked back. And for the tremendous testimony that he was, for the tremendous example that he is to us, and to realize that he was fearless before many, many obstacles and opposition. And he never wavered in his testimony once he put his trust in you. And we pray now that you'd be with us, and we may be dealing with different things in each of our lives, and there may be things that will come up next week that we don't even know about yet. But we know that you are the God of tomorrow, and you will see us through. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.